Governor Obama.
Going to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
That's no moon.
We're all fine here. No, thank you. How are you?
Welcome to the Star Wars Nerds Podcast. I'm Dan Vettabonker.
And I'm Kenton Larson.
And we have another episode of Ahsoka. But first, happy birthday, Kenton.
Oh, you remember.
Well, I saw your TikTok this morning.
Well, I didn't think people would actually take it literally. It's basically in the TikTok, it's a blown balloon. And then look to the sky and you hear Close Encounters. I've been taken. I've been abducted. And that's how I feel about my birthday. I'm out of here.
Well, I don't know if I'm sure we probably recorded the podcast on your birthday before. We've been doing this for a long time, but
probably.
I don't remember. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, and the other thing I was going to say, in my family, the big thing is I always brag that it always rains on my birthday. And they're like, it didn't rain yet. Like, that's like all day long. Didn't rain. 100% chance of rain at noon.
Yeah, it's
going to
rain.
Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. But in my family, that's nobody cares about my birthday. They're like, it didn't rain. It did rain. Oh, you're right. It rained. It's not going to rain. Oh, now it is raining. Like, it's all about the rain.
Because yeah.
I've spent
blaming on the rain.
50 plus years boasting about rain on my birthday, and now I can't. Now, climate change, but yet, that seems to be the one thing that still holds true.
We are going to talk about Ahsoka, of course. We have the follow-up episode to what we call the best episode so far of the series, which was last one. We got the great flashback to Anakin and all that stuff.
One of the best pieces and well-received pieces of Star Wars media.
Sure.
In history,
in modern,
possibly.
Modern Star Wars era, I guess.
It was big and universally loved, even among trolls who hate Star Wars. I noticed they couldn't help but grudgingly admit that that was a great episode.
But I have to say, after that lovely piece of work, we, as the Pet Shop Boys said, are now back to being boring.
I disagree.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
No,
this is such a boring episode. There was one scene I liked. One scene, and the rest of it was
crap. No.
Although
I do like
what they're doing with the what's his name's character? Ray Stevenson's character.
I loved it. I have only one little nitpick, but apart from that one nitpick, I found it very engrossing. I liked it. I did not. I thought it went by at a fast clip, actually. I was Ray Stevenson, I loved everything. So interesting. Such a great character.
It is, whatever they're doing with that, I'm very interested to see where it goes, because it's certainly not anything we've seen before. Yeah. He seems to be like a rogue Jedi who's not necessarily a Sith, but still seems to use the dark side. He's got a red lightsaber, and that's what everyone, I think, throws everybody off about him. He's training her to be, like, there's a lot of good information in those discussions, but they're so fucking boring. I'm sorry to swear, but it's just like, I'm going to do this. Shouldn't this get us?
I'm surprised that
you
feel that way.
What are we going to do? I don't know. And then we got like 5 minutes of freaking Ahsoka and Huyang, which are like the best. He's the best character in the show. And we got nothing from him. Telling a story. That was it.
What do you mean we got nothing? A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away,
that was it.
Said out loud. And remember, we did a whole podcast on who says a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Remember that? We're like, who?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
We're
like,
who the hell says
who's
that?
Telling this? Who's
who
telling the story?
It?
Okay, it's
who says it's a long time ago? Where do they live? Because if we know where they live, that, or where and when they live, they don't know what a long time ago means.
Right.
But otherwise, it's not in relation to anything.
Okay.
And so him saying it, I was like, well, now we know he says it, and probably the fact that he's been around for so long. Maybe somebody before him said it.
I wonder how long he's been around for, is my question.
Well, I think he said on an episode, didn't he? I've been training Jedi Knights for some 100 years.
Oh, okay. So it's been longer than – I was just like – because it's like you told us when you were like – clearly he raised – like he's known Ahsoka since she was a child.
Yeah.
Right? And so he's got a long relationship with her, and I imagine he's trained a lot of Jedi. And yeah, so the Jedi stories that they told – and I like how they have like three parts, like part 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
So it's like the original trilogy kind of a nod. And he's like, pick whatever one you want to tell. So that was – I do agree that was a nice scene.
And along with that scene, I just want to give a shout-out to – it looked like 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Sure.
And as they're flying with multicolored, but also with the addition of whales.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that. I was like, I will one-up your 2001 light show, and I will give you whales.
I'll one-up your space baby with space whales. Yeah. I think that I still like the idea of the space whales, and they're called star whales.
Yeah.
They're being called star whales.
The perka lids, I can't remember.
Anyway.
They call them something, and I don't remember what they are.
But I got to say, then we go to what do we do? I actually don't have the episode up in front of me.
That's okay.
But we have, like, you know, we've got Sabine, who held prisoner. And you know what? One of my most hated lines in all of cinema is
what?
We had a deal. We had a deal.
They're so incredible. We had a deal. How could they go back on the deal? We had a deal.
But along with that, we had a deal.
But we had a deal.
For the first time, Ray Stevenson is challenged by his apprentice.
That's
says,
true.
Are you going to honor the deal? Which I thought was a nice, was a nice switch. But don't forget, they come out of the hyperspace and they see the elephants. It's like an elephant graveyard, but it's
the whale grave. Yes,
now,
that's very cool.
Now, if I have a beef with two things in this episode, it's the ease at which they find things.
Yeah.
But that's the planet we want, and we could have come out anywhere, really, right?
Ah, yeah, sure.
So we have.
I love it when she comes. She meets the Night Sisters, and she's like, "Your vision guide." Drew me to you and that little globy thing that the map that we had to fight for in the first few episodes of this show. They certainly did not just have the visions to guide them to this place.
I liked the look of that planet and I liked the look of the Night Sisters.
Yeah, that was
cool. Or if that's what they were.
Yeah, right? I'm pretty sure that's what they look like. We've seen them in video games and they look like that in the video games.
Yeah, I mean, once again, we had an episode of Ahsoka where Ahsoka's not in it very much.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking this week, maybe they could have called it Rebels. Maybe. Because in some ways, this episode was just so Rebels, Star Wars Rebels.
Right, but the last one wasn't. The last one was a Clone Wars thing.
The last one was very Ahsoka.
I think he's trying to combine it all together. Yeah. I think that's really what Filoni's trying to do here, but it's just so heavy in one or the other. You can't really blend them well. And it's because they weren't really blended well to begin with. Ahsoka was just a tag-on character at the end of one season. They had a little minor storyline arc. It was not a big part of it. Thrawn was the big bad for the final season of Rebels, but it wasn't related to anything big. It was all happening before the main conflict of Star Wars. So, I don't know. It was just so, everything's so, again, I say boring because it did seem like even as they're landing on the planet, I'm like, oh my God, could this be drawn out anymore? How many reaction shots are we going to show these people flying onto the planet, flying across like oh my God, it's a planet with mist and there's these big, I've seen this a million times before. It was not exciting to me at all. Please let us get to this wherever they're going.
I found it engrossing. I thought it showed ancient stuff that their galaxy came from this galaxy. I just thought it looked cool. I wanted to know more about it and explore that planet.
It just seemed, again, the pacing is so drawn out. It just seems like they're taking forever to get there.
Do you watch it on a phone?
No, I watch it.
You watch it on TV?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just because I don't think it would translate well to a smaller
screen. Actually it does because I was watching it on my phone on the bus on the way in. I watched it twice. I didn't feel, I'm like, was this really a crappy episode? I don't trust my own judgment right now. So I watched it again this morning as I was coming in, or a little bit this morning and then again on the bus. And I was still bored. I was still bored by parts of it.
The scene where the big Star Destroyer comes in and it's patched up, but it's hard to tell.
No, they're building it. New building from scratch Star Destroyer.
No, I don't think so. I think
there in a Star Destroyer? I don't remember. I thought he went there in a space whale.
Yeah, he does. He does. The space whale's like surrounded in Rebels, and then they take it.
Is
into
that it? Okay.
They take it to the thing, but
I thought that was meant to be like a big one they're building, and they're still not done building.
No, they've had to repair it, I think, and just like the stormtroopers inside it. But I couldn't help but think, like, as that thing rumbles in, like in a theater, that would be like a freaking crazy.
Oh yeah,
like if I watched it on a phone, I'd go, oh look, it's a little.
I watched it was on my TV at home, so it was the normal size. That was a very cool scene. I like the kind of the idea of it docking on top of that thing, so it like sits there on the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a cool idea. It reminds me actually in Solo when we had, what's his name, ship? Remember that one big, tall, skinny ship that like flies in and it stops and it looks like a tower?
Oh my God.
The bad guy. Kendra.
What
was his name? It's a town in Alberta. No, it's a town in Ontario. Dryden, Ontario, something like that.
Was it Dryden?
Dryden Voss? Dryden Voss, something like that. Anyway.
Like, we're doing bad with names today.
What's Star Wars names, too? Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so, I was like, and then when, that was cool when we saw the Star Destroyer, but again, very, very drawn out. And the scene, admittedly, where Thrawn shows up, and it was really the music that was amazing in
Organ
that scene.
Organ music.
Yeah, very, very.
Thrawn.
Yes,
yes. Got a chant.
Yes, very cool.
My new favorite creepy ass character, Enoch.
Is that Golden Face?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, oh my God. Like, what has.
I call him Golden Face.
Because you are my trusted right hand man, I give you a face on your helmet that will paint gold.
That's actually consistent. Yeah. Thrawn has always had a right hand man
right.
throughout, even from the beginning when it was Peleon, I believe, in the first
books.
Well,
I think we know that his. Watson, the Watson to his Holmes is in play because he was on a hologram.
Right,
in Mandalorian.
Yes, that's right.
So they'll find each other once again. But I think I liked the cracked armor and and of course, now it makes sense why that lightsaber guy, he got cut and it went whoa, and all that Merrick guy, and it was like he looked like he was a witch spell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? And all those.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a good argument that maybe those stormtroopers are undead.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's my question was, I couldn't remember at the end of Rebels how he got there. I thought they both got, I have this vision of them both getting swallowed by whales and going.
No, I believe they were in the Star Destroyer.
Okay, in the Star Destroyer.
The whales
surrounded them. So there was a Star Destroyer with them. So maybe that's the Star Destroyer. Okay, so then, yeah, but he didn't have those troops, certainly. So my thought was that he has somehow.
Did he not?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't remember.
But I feel like he's like certainly built them up. He's certainly built their loyalty. He has a fierce fighting force at his disposal. Like this is like, and they're badass. Like that armor looks so cool. All the modifications and the way they personalized it, and the chanting of Thrawn. They love him and they will fight for him to the death. So you feel that, right? You feel the threat of that force. So I can't wait to see those guys in action. I mean, yes, he's creepy. He's got a creepy voice, golden face. But again, this frustrates me.
The best farewell in Star Wars history. Die well. Here's your weapons.
Yeah, that's right,
Hey, I love that. I was like, what are they doing? They're handing her all these weapons. Like, she can kill them. But he's like, here you go. Die well.
Yeah. Well, again, this is just another part I have with this is the plan is, okay, Sabine, here you go. Go ahead and find Ezra. And she doesn't know that they're going to follow her. Does she not realize?
I think she does know.
She does know. She's okay, I don't – like basically she only went there so she could see Ezra, but she's going to bring him back to be captured.
He's going
to
be pissed, I think, when he hears the whole story, and that's why she doesn't tell it to him.
Right.
Because she knows she's going to be in
another
Schitt's
time.
Creek.
Did she say something like another time or something? Let's not talk about that.
Let's not spoil.
Let's not ruin this now with the reality of the situation.
Let's not let me tell you all the mistakes I made to get here. Like, by the way, I think Ahsoka might be dead. Like that. Like she doesn't know.
She doesn't know.
She has no clue what she has left behind,
yeah.
And she might think lots of things, and he's not going to want to hear it. So, but I think the other thing. So I loved the Baylan discussion. I thought he.
Yes, that was cool.
Oh my God! Like he is amazing, and I love. Oh. The what do they call the wolf? The wolf she rides. The wolf dog.
The howler. It's called a howler. Yeah.
The new design for the rock. The little rock guy.
Those guys are the Noti, N-O-T-I, Noti. Yeah. Subtitles also
like,
with that stuff.
Yeah. I had the subtitles on so I could see that stuff too. I still don't remember. But I love all that stuff. I thought, but once again, it's easy to find the planet. It's easy to find Ezra.
And it's, very easy to find
and
Ezra.
I thought,
come on.
If the one thing, like, and I did a little TikTok where Thrawn can't get out of the
cardboard. Yeah, I saw that,
To me, that was part of, like, a legitimate discussion about, he is a master tactician. He understands everybody's psychology. He knows she's going to go find Ezra and that he's somewhere on this planet. He's not that far away, as a matter of fact. And to me, it's like, how great a tactician is this Thrawn? If he cannot go a few blocks away or however far it is, a few miles away and find Ezra living there. But he does. Ezra does say...
They move around
up.
A lot. Yeah.
Okay,
it's a nomadic. It's a nomadic people.
And they show how they can hide in plain sight. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right, it's possible. So the ease of that stuff, sure. And I think part of that is because the early episodes, Filoni was setting the scene, and now we've got two more to finish this off. And so we're building for a big finale here.
Yeah,
and
I
think had we met Thrawn earlier, some of that stuff could have taken longer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just the structure of the series. You're going to have to at some point find – we know you're going to find Ezra at some point.
Yeah.
Thrawn – barrel-chested, creepy, his eyes don't look anywhere. They're creepy, and he doesn't blink.
Yeah.
I thought Lars Mikkelsen was awesome.
Yeah,
he was
very good. Yeah,
he's gross.
He embodies that character very well, and the creepy, like, all-knowing of him. Like, he just knows every step. And even, like, when what's his name, says that Ahsoka's dead, he's like, oh, so our supposedly dead Ahsoka, and they have that exchange. Like, she's – come on. You really think she's dead? He's not going to believe she's dead until he sees a body.
No, he doesn't believe
it. No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, he knows.
Yeah, he's telling the witch,
like,
don't stop telling me this shit that you know not to be true, is basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
But I thought I was surprised by how gross Thrawn is. Like, he's just disgusting. He's vile. And I thought all of the Enoch it makes it worse. And then all of the other stormtroopers look like they're being cobbled together maybe by witchcraft and polish or something. Oh, and it occurred to me, only one person is clean, and it's Thrawn. So my entire theory is they have one box of Tide. There's 10,000 stormtroopers and him, and he's like, the suit. Gets priority.
Absolutely, he does. Yeah.
So the suit is nicely pressed and clean. Enoch is probably like, I can see a naked blue Thrawn standing there while Enoch is like ironing his, doing his laundry.
Okay, what's Ray Stevenson's character again?
Baylan.
Baylan. Okay, and so we learn more about his background. Now he was at the academy. He was maybe training there. I don't know that they said what he was doing there, but he was certainly part of the Jedi Order at one time. Yeah. And then obviously after Order 66, he had to go into hiding or whatever. And then he's been training this young woman. And he says, you know, the Jedi are flawed. He talks about the Jedi. Are not, you know, and that's very similar to what Luke was saying in you know what I mean? He did remind me a little bit of that attitude that Luke had in The Last Jedi.
Well, he's kind of looking at, he's wistfully remembering the Jedi Order, and he's not, and he said, I like the idea of it. I miss the idea of it.
Yeah.
But now we have something else, and it's just the same cycle of war and whatever. And I have a plan to end that once and for all. It's like, by what? Blowing up the galaxy? Like, it's,
A Thanos-style plan?
I'm imagining his plan is going to be destruction as opposed to where I'm going to create a utopia. I'm going to sit at the piano and play Imagine.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
And everybody's going to buy in. We'll get Wonder Woman involved, and we'll get everybody singing Imagine Gal Gadot did when she did that thing and everybody hated it. If that's his plan, that's a bad plan. But I like what they've set up in terms of Baylan and his apprentice. They both seem like they could be turned without too much effort back one way or the other. And especially if they're left behind by Thrawn, which he basically says, who cares? Maybe they'll come back. Maybe they won't. Yeah. We'll go. They'll figure it out. Like, oh, well. Like, they're all expendable to him. He doesn't care. But, and I do think they're setting us up for one or both to be converted. If I were to predict, I'd say Baylan gets killed and his young apprentice turns.
That might happen, and they may have changed that after he passed away in real life.
Maybe.
But I would say it's a good ending regardless, because I really do feel the threat from him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like he is – I feel like he really does believe what he believes very, very strongly, and that he's not going to be turned away from his path or whatever he wants to do. And we don't know what that is yet, and it could be – you're right. It could be something like – I don't know. What could it be? Like, what could he do? It was like he wants to – he's kind of seems like he wants to stop Thrawn because he says it's just another cycle. He just says these guys are just going to come back again. So what could it be that he wants to do?
It also occurred to me, like, the less said about this plot line, the better. But DJ in a – DJ played
Benicio Del Toro.
Benicio Del Toro. Like, hey, don't you see the same guys who make the X-Wings make the TIE fighter?
Yeah. Anti-war.
And I was like, okay, it's possible – that Filoni and Favreau have looked at those movies and go, well, that's shitty. Let's fix that. Let's fix the cloning. Let's fix that. Let's pay that off in a way that it now meaningful that it's in those films. And I think that could have been what he has in mind. That occurred to me that he could be like, you got to destroy the rebellion and the empire. But he is after power. He makes that clear. That kind of power with Thrawn is fleeting. That's fleeting power.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the long-lasting power is what I'm talking about. So I was like, it's either he's got a plan for destruction or creation, and maybe to him it's the same thing.
Maybe he's got to destroy in order to create, right? That's often a goal of villains in these types of movies. I think that we don't know where he's going to go, which makes him interesting. I feel like Thrawn and Morgan and all the other villains are pretty one. Like, I know Thrawn's interesting to watch and he's cool, but he's still pretty one-dimensional. Like, we know what he wants. He just wants to destroy the rebels. and get back there and get the Empire going again. We know that doesn't happen because they are working to tie this into the what comes later. Like, this is a continuity with those films, so they have to end up with the First Order at some point. Do you think we're going to get any hints of the First Order in the series at all? We have nothing really.
Well, we already did with Hux's dad in The Mandalorian.
Yes, that's right.
And I think there's going to be some more specific tie-in. I also think that we'll get an Ahsoka season 2 to maybe push it in that direction. We know Filoni is going to be doing a movie that wraps up Ahsoka, Mandalorian, Skeleton Crew.
Right.
Not Acolyte, which takes place before. So we know we're going to get that. I think there's an opportunity here. And I do, and it really seems like in this era, that's what Favreau and Filoni are doing, which is filling in some of the blanks that didn't make sense.
Or just looking at it, they know that Star Wars fans love when it gets tied together, right? That's mm-hmm. something we really all love, that it all fits together. And I think they're going to look for opportunities to do that within what exists. And I think Pablo talked about that a lot when we had him on the podcast, when they say, you know, it's not like when they got rid of all that extended universe stuff and said that wasn't canon. It wasn't like they were writing it off. It's just like saying, okay, that's, we have to set that aside for now because it's just too much. Because for years and years, people were just allowed to make up whatever they wanted about Star Wars and write about it. And it was just not, nobody was, and there's inconsistencies, I'm sure, and all kinds of stuff happening. So now they're just focusing in and they're trying to make it like this interwoven narrative that goes through everything, right?
Correct.
But it's still really freaking boring, and I want them to, there was like no action in this episode at all.
I love this episode. Yeah. I really did. Okay, let's talk about Ezra showing up at the end.
All right.
I just want to say, I wanted Jason Schwartzman. I got a guy who's channeling Jason Schwartzman.
He is. He really is. Yeah. Absolutely. You're right, actually. He really, I mean, I think you're right when you said.
It could have been him.
I think that, I don't know. It's certainly, there's obviously a choice to cast a certain person in that role, right? Yeah. Because the character's background or whatever. But he was good. He did feel like Ezra. I don't think it's the same actor that did the voice. I don't know who did the voice either.
It's a very natural performance, though. And I did, when they hugged each other, I was like, well, isn't that lovely? Like, I wasn't the world's greatest Rebels fan by any stretch, but I was like, I felt that emotion. And
that was good.
And I know that they're being hunted down. Nobody wants anything to happen to the Rock people. Like, I don't want the two.
They're like the Ewoks for this series.
Yeah, the two villains are going to show up and slaughter the village, right? Like, no, we cannot have that.
I see them fight off those stormtroopers, though, or something like that.
I'm still not sure what we're in for. Like, I actually think Thrawn thinks they're all dead out there anyway. So they're going to get into that hyperspace ring and take them all back. Or whatever. And I think he's going to believe them to be there. We don't know where Ahsoka's going to come out in hyperspace.
It's got to be nearby. She cannot have a lot of... Come on. Everything is happening too easily in this series.
It could actually have happened already, and we just don't know where.
Right.
Like, because she said, I could come out anywhere. Now, if she comes out right there, that might push the bounds of credibility. So let's see. But they did say this is the end of the hyperspace lane.
And they said, if you see one... Terminate with extreme prejudice, or whatever you said.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just want to see. The other thing is that I'm not really feeling any tension between Ahsoka, the title mm-hmm. character of this show, and Thrawn, who is ostensibly the main villain.
Yeah.
Like, they have no connection to each other other than whatever happened between them and Rebels. We have not been reminded of any of that. I can't remember what happened in Rebels with her. It's just like, Thrawn is evil. Yeah. We have to stop him. But there's no, like, personal... You know?
Yeah, that's a valid criticism of a show called Ahsoka, and certainly this isn't the first place that I've heard it, and I also find myself, although I said I kind of enjoy the not remembering, because it reminds me of the first time seeing Star Wars.
Like, it's like when you didn't know anything about this.
There's a sand planet, there's a space station, and you're just like, what could be around the next corner? And that's sort of how I feel watching this series. Like, it could be anything. There's whales flying in space. I thought the creature design was so much better than in the what had happened in the sequel trilogy.
I do like that howler creature. I think that's a neat looking design. Yeah. And I didn't like the 10 minutes we spent. Well, not 10 minutes, but whatever. We spent way too long with her making up with it because she was mad at it for running away from her. Who cares about that stuff? We're spending too much time on stuff like that.
It built the character of the dog. He's so cute.
Is this like the whatever, like Obi-Wan's Bantha character? Remember Obi-Wan had a Bantha that he really liked? Nobody cares about that Bantha.
What was that? I don't remember.
That was in the Obi-Wan series. Yeah, that Bantha when he was like going to work at the meat slaughterhouse when he was cutting up the meats and had to go back to work.
He had a Bantha.
Yeah, he had a Bantha. And he was like, here you go, boy. And gave me, remember, he kept the piece of meat for his Bantha and he took it home with him.
Oh, you remember that?
Okay.
It's sort of coming back to me now, but
I
forgot about Billy the Bantha or whatever, whoever his pet was. But no, I really like this episode. I loved this episode. I did not find it boring for a second. Yeah. Now, I'm the guy who said the first two episodes were boring and Ahsoka was a stick in the mud, right? Like, I know I've definitely noticed people now going, I liked the series the whole time. Like, they started changing. No, I didn't like the series the whole time. But I thought the last couple were, I'm very satisfied with the last couple. And of course, the one before is the best episode. You just can't argue that.
This is the
Anakin.
Sixth episode. That was the last one. Number five was the one with Anakin.
Right. Whichever. Yeah. I think the one with Anakin is the best episode. You just can't. I can't imagine it getting better than that. And by the way, I heard somebody online somewhere, I don't remember who it was now, say they hated the CGI in the episode where you see Anakin at the end, but then they didn't use it so much in the episode where he was basically with us the whole episode.
Yeah, I guess. I think we just get used to it. I don't think that's all
that is. I think we'll reevaluate this as we see the final two episodes. And I wish that we'd get the last two on the same night, by the way. That would be so cool.
That would be nice, yeah.
But I didn't. I really enjoyed this episode. I'm surprised actually that you found this one to be boring.
I just found it again boring. But maybe people disagree with you. Let me know if you disagree.
The blue guy showed up. He's a bit older, Thrawn. He's like an older Thrawn than what we probably saw.
Well, we've seen it. We've never seen him in real live action before, so we don't know what he looks like.
I thought in real life there were surprises about
Thrawn. The Thrawn scene was great. That whole sequence is awesome when he walks in and he sees this. I love that. Was my favorite part of this episode, but most of it was really boring, and I still continue to feel like the dialogue is wooden and awkward and the pacing sucks.
Wow, I love the episode. To me, I'm like, it's close to the one before it. Like, I don't think it's as good as the one before it, but I think it's awesome. I'm excited about the next episode. I did not my friend texted me and he's like, they found Ezra too easy or whatever.
Yeah, they did.
And I was like, yeah, That's a valid criticism. I agree. They probably found him a little easy, but I'm pumped for the last two episodes. We were sort of seeing like a gradual improvement. I mean, the show this week was 10,000 times better than those first two episodes.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So like I'm satisfied with the show so far, but we really need to see the last two episodes to know for sure.
Yeah, and it might be really, really good. So who knows? But it still kind of shows that like you have to be able to tell a story consistently across a season and this stuff. And this show certainly isn't doing that.
You don't think so?
Not at least the first couple episodes have been crappy. So
see, I just don't. I don't. I'm not comfortable enough saying that yet. Right. I need to see the last two. And I remember I hated those first two.
Six episodes hasn't convinced him, ladies and gentlemen.
I found the first two episodes quite dull. I found the third one to be a little better, and then
the fourth and fifth ones were really
then
good.
Then I was like, okay. So and I'm willing to say okay. I'm willing to give Filoni, and Favreau is a producer on the show.
Right.
He's named as a producer, but I'm willing to give Filoni, a little room here and say I want to see the last two episodes. And if nothing else, the episode with Anakin is like one of the all-time greats.
It was very good, yeah. If nothing else, we did get that, and it was a real continuation of other prequels, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll continue watching it, and thank you for listening. That's a weird thing to say. I don't know why.
Thanks for listening.
I've never thanked people for listening. Thank you for listening.
Thanks. Thank you for the criticism.
Thank you. Nobody criticizes us anymore. But if you want to criticize us, please feel free to leave a voice message. I would love for someone to leave us a voice message.
One of the few episodes we disagree on. We've agreed
on everything. Yeah, it's very much so.
It's
we'll
rare.
See if that continues.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Nerds. I'm Dan Vadabonker.
I'm Kenton Larson. Don't let the Force hit you in the ass.
All right. That's no moon.
Going to Tosche Station to pick up some.